Hello there, and welcome back to the Natalie and
Dennis
Show
podcast.
I gotta say, I don't want to be offensive.
What?
I feel like I got a better, you know, power punch voice for the intro.
Do it then.
Hit me with that song.
Yeah, I got you.
I didn't even know I was going to do it.
Yeah, no, we kind of agreed off the air from
No, okay. No. We said that I was going to be shown first, but not that I was going to do the intro. And you went...
Okay, go ahead. Let's do it again.
Okay.
But with everybody listening.
Yeah, no, they're still listening.
Happy Friday, okay. Everyone.
Go ahead. Okay, don't pause it.
No, I'm not pausing.
Go ahead. Restart.
Happy Friday, everyone. I mean, if you really want me to do it, I can do it.
Okay. Do it again.
All right, fine.
With
I'll
the
do
utmost
it.
Pizzazz.
Dang, guys. Okay,
go ahead. Okay, music.
Okay. Music.
I always wait a little, too.
3, 2, 1.
Hello there, and welcome back to the Natalie and
Dennis
Show
podcast.
And now you got to see a little behind the scenes on how this works and how I get cornered every week. Let's talk about something real quick. If you are watching the visuals on YouTube, you might just see a resemblance here to Nacho Libre. And that,
I do not look like Nacho.
Nacho Libre Day.
And that is Dennis. He decided to let his little hipster mustache go out. And I think it's so fun and different, and yeah.
So I was shaving in the bathroom, and I was just about to chop this mustache off, and you were like, "No, leave it, leave the mustache," because I don't know. And
I feel like when you remove everything,
yeah,
you just look like a little boy now to me, and I kind of miss your beard.
You know, if you check out the previous podcast and even the ones before that, my beard and overall just facial hair was getting really long.
Yep.
To the point where my mom was making fun of me, saying some obscene stuff about what my facial hair looked like.
Yeah.
And whatever. I've never had a mustache.
Yeah.
I've never thought of a mustache being something.
Is it fun?
Sebum is a weightlifter.
I got a mustache too. Hace poquito también me dejé, yo solamente.
Oh, sí. Pozo. Yeah, how do you guys feel with your mustache? Do you feel different?
I feel more masculine.
Yeah. I do think you guys look more. It's so interesting because, like,
you said I look more artistic.
You do look more artistic. For like, if I didn't know you.
More artistic.
If I didn't know you and I saw you, like, I'd be like, oh, he looks like. He does art.
He's gonna paint on.
Yeah, he does.
We came down to either I work at Whole Foods or I'm a barista at Starbucks.
Yeah.
Or I do corn. I'm gonna use a different version of it.
I never said that. You said that.
It's a corn stash. It's just like a known thing. It's just funny.
I don't know that. What I do find a little interesting is there's more girls in the comments being like, dang, daddy.
That came from you. That's a thing.
No, I swear somebody commented daddy Dennis or something. I've been seeing that.
Yeah,
around.
Yeah. I saw it too.
So, or somebody was like, oh, he looks like Juicy, or I don't know. Like, you have a little girly fan club going on right now.
You guys have been glazing over me.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cool term. I actually learned it a couple days ago. It's called glazing.
No, seriously. So maybe, I don't know. There's something with the mustache that is making people think you are something.
I feel good. At the same time,
talking about that,
I have like this really happy energy about me recently.
Me too.
Have you been sensing that from me? And I've been sensing it from you.
Yes, I've been sensing it from both of us. I think we're both doing different things. You're flossing. You mentioned this yesterday.
Oh, bro, flossing changes the game.
He was on the bike. He's like, I love our life. He was like, I'm flossing.
I was on Peloton.
He's like, I'm flossing. I'm going to the
what
gym.
Is flossing?
Usando la llanta.
It makes him feel
that nice. Doesn't change anything.
I know. No, but listen, he was like on the bike and he's like, oh man, I'm flossing. I am running again. I'm going to the gym. I'm sleeping good. I'm eating good.
Yeah.
So you just like your skincare, everything.
You're
taking care of yourself.
I am in my
running your prime.
Absolute glow. Blow up phase. So I got a new Garmin watch, by the way.
He did.
Oh, no.
I know. Someone to look at.
You guys are making me blush. It's funny. But overall,
yeah,
I'm tackling life from all angles.
That's so great.
Now I started incorporating running, and obviously I mentioned it in the last podcast, and I'm actually doing really well at it. I'm building up on it, trying to fix up my cardio. That's why I got my Garmin. I had an old one, and so I thought it was time to change. Mm-hmm. But I thought to myself, you know, other than just the physical fitness aspect of it, you know, teeth go a long way, skincare go a long way. I've always been about skincare. Mm-hmm. Teeth, not so much. I just brush, right? And flossing, I think what was difficult for me about that was the nastiness in terms of the stringy floss, like the actual one you have to wrap around your fingers.
That's the one I like.
Bro, your dad's whole floss stick thing, game changer.
No,
in a positive way. I'm going to say it in a positive way. So like, it's just the fact that the more you floss, also the easier it is.
Oh my God, I didn't floss before this episode. No wonder I feel like this.
So Natalie and I were at a date earlier today, because it's date morning day. And I find myself having these deeper smiles, or like I'm laughing, but I'm like exposing more teeth, I guess.
You mentioned that we were eating and you were like, I just want to smile more. He's putting on his braces every night.
Oh, I'm using my retainers.
He's using his retainers again.
Yeah.
And so I just feel like you're taking it so seriously that it really does start to show, like, you know, whenever you stop going to the gym and then you go again for the first week, you instantly feel better. There's something about it.
There's a score that you get on your Garmin watch, and it's like, it's called body battery. And it's how good you slept and everything combined together. Your workouts, how you're feeling, your levels of stress. And so...
Gosh, it's good. What is that?
That's a score that the Garmin gives you.
The watch. Yeah.
But... I would say, I mean, obviously it doesn't take into account your dental health, but I would say my life body battery is at 100. Like, awesome. I feel great.
That's so good.
Man, that's good.
Right? Because usually you're off in something.
Yeah.
So like, what is it that, I mean, that's super cool. I'm proud of you. I'm really proud of you.
Yeah. So I decided to do this dash. Mm-hmm. I also feel like we're all boxed into how we should be or envision ourselves looking.
Okay.
Right? Like, girls with long hair can't envision themselves with short hair. And guys with a particular hairstyle usually rock it for years, 10 years, 20 years, same hairstyle. Mm-hmm. Don't attempt anything else because they just can't envision themselves. And so, I mean, to this day, I mean, I've had this dash for like 5 days, maybe even less. I still don't consider myself a mustache guy. But now I know that I can actually rock it, and it's actually pretty funny. And thanks to you, you know, I did it. I don't know. I feel very confident too about myself.
So good.
It's very nice.
What do you think it is though? Beyond just, is it really just like waking up early, going to the gym, you know, putting yourself first? You've been like doing a lot of things. Like
positive outlook.
Positivity. That's really nice. What do you think gets you in a rut though? Because sometimes we get in ruts. Like, what gets you in one?
For me, it's missing out on workouts.
That's true.
But at the same time, today's my rest day, and I understand that my body needs a rest.
Yeah.
A rut would also be when we have dumb arguments, it kind of ruins my day.
You know what I feel like happened? Because we're about to go to Japan.
Yeah.
I sometimes feel like travel puts me in a rut.
Because, really?
Yeah, because I don't have a routine. So that's why I told you, I was like, this time when we go to Japan, like, I want to grocery shop. Sometimes I want to be able to
go to the gym.
Yeah, exactly. And he actually got a place that has a gym, which is really nice. Like, I want to keep the routine. I want to try with the jet lag our best to kind of get in.
You guys can climb into.
Yeah, yeah. And just like keep a routine.
I think in Japan, I think gonna be so far.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Can you believe it? And I also hear. Yeah,
Japan is crazy. I want to go to Japan.
I know.
And Japan is good. Everything is like a city.
Beautiful. Yeah, I hear that the yen is really like.
I mean, the yen is doing poorly, but exactly. That means the dollar is doing really well.
Right, right. So it's going to be really fun.
So, appearance. I'm feeling good. You're feeling good. Debbie, how are you feeling about your own appearance right now? Feel good about yourself? Confident?
Yes, I feel confident. I feel happy. I'm going to Colombia, so I think that changed a lot in what I'm feeling in the last couple of days.
So we're all feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm assuming we've all had our bad phases where we're not feeling our best.
That's true. Yeah.
Kind of let ourselves go. I don't know, in terms of fluctuations of weight or just overall attitude and feeling. But what are some signs that you are going in the direction of ugly? Like, you have let your appearance just kind of decay. Going bad.
I know.
What are some signs? For me, it's when I look in the mirror and I'm like, ooh.
I remember when you had a moment, which was, you know, obviously we film YouTube videos and we used to be more consistent. So there was a moment where you looked at yourself in one of the videos and you were like, whoa, I just like let myself go. You said that you felt so embarrassed by the way that you looked. You were many, many pounds higher than what you're used to in your frame.
I was fat and thin. I had no muscle and I was fat. I was just overall a blob. It was just bad.
Well, I remember that. That was a moment for you. And you know, that's like really hard because you asked me and it's hard to be the person to be like, I've been seeing it. Like, I don't know. I didn't even know what I said. I hope I comforted you through that. Or
what she say? What she say? Bennett?
I think you said, you just said, yeah. Confirmation that you feel like shit and should feel like shit is actually
no, but bad. I think you have to have the moment to break out to.
I agree.
Knowing they're bad.
You know, there's a conversation I always remember Dennis had with me early on in our relationship, and that was you were sharing a story about a man who went out to eat with his wife, and his wife had gained a lot of weight. And she was feeling low about herself, but she wouldn't quite like admit that that was making her uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So then two men made fun of her as she was walking through the door, as they opened the door, and they were like, dang, this woman is big, you know? Yeah. And he overheard that. And in that moment, he questioned, should I tell her? Is she like, or should I continue to keep this inside? So when we went on tour, that's when you gained weight.
Yeah.
You were eating out every night, blah, blah, blah.
Too is bad for all of us.
I always felt that. Like, I was like, should I tell him or should I continue? And you know who told you?
It was my uncle.
Your dad. It was my uncle. Your dad was the one.
But
and I think it was such a good thing. It was so hard to hear, though. It was difficult. Do you want to share what happened or no? it takes you back, right?
Yeah.
It's hard. It's really hard when somebody puts you in a spot like that.
I feel like I've said this before and it's just like we've done so many podcasts. I'm sorry if I repeat something that I said previously, but I'm a runner and I liked running, but I was an overweight runner to the point where people wouldn't believe that I would run a lot. And so my uncle's like, oh, you just,
but you're looking. Explain the story time. Like, where you guys?
Estábamos en el mall.
We were in the mall.
Estábamos en Mallorca.
You guys eating?
Estábamos en Mallorca.
No, we were walking. I remember where it was.
It was in Colombia. We were walking in the mall.
Yeah.
It was right next to that Dunkin' Donuts, I think. We were like walking like that.
I remember everything.
Yeah, I remember.
I felt that secondhand embarrassment. And I just remember your uncle said.
Can you break it down? Because I can't remember it that well. But you feel it more.
I remember. I was walking forward. And I remember he kind of grabbed you and he's like, hombre, hey, venga, like, I want to tell you something. And he was like, you're so young. You have a beautiful wife. And you've gained weight. And not that like weight should be a factor in relationships. I think he was trying to kind of say like, man, you have a long life ahead of you. You need to get this under control. It's kind of shocking because I don't think people really understand like how like the change you had. You went from being like very thin and
I think the surgeries on my knees.
Sure.
And overall COVID and many factors in the last like 10 years of my life that have just like hit me consecutively have caused my routines to change.
Yeah.
So I would play soccer 3-4 times a week.
Yeah.
And then you get hit with like a knee issue and then you're like, oh shit, I can't do that. You can't work out for like 4 or 5 months. And then the biggest part of that, and I'll even let you finish. I think we're pretty much out with that, is I was running 30, 40, 50 miles a week and I just saw no change. It was so sad.
But you know what it was, right?
It was the eating.
Yeah, we were eating really bad. Really.
How were you not changing?
Because I wasn't at my fittest either, but I wasn't. I always like love fruit and like I tried to consume a lot of like food, natural food. So I think that's why I wasn't like that. But I wasn't at my fittest either, but I wasn't as far in as you.
Yeah.
You know?
¿Qué iba a decir, David?
No, que de pronto también puede ser como el ADN que ya tienen, que no, baby, no engordas así como tan fácil como other people, you know?
Yeah. I just remember, yeah, it was a wake-up call for you. I don't remember what you responded or anything, but it definitely shook you.
Yeah.
And that was probably a time you felt kind of ugly, going back to this question.
Yeah. So people have a lot of comments here.
What did you say to him?
Really funny. Me? I agreed. No, I agreed.
Oh, yeah. What did you say? You said that?
I defended myself.
Yeah.
I defended myself and I said, wow, like that's crazy.
I run
so much. And he looked at me like, fuck, what the hell you mean you run? You don't look like you run. In terms of cardio, I was the fittest I've ever been.
Se me dice que se corría mucho era porque se comía mucho y tenía mucha energía.
Yeah, I would run literally half marathons multiple times a week. And I was so fat. It's so sad. Anyways.
It was so sad.
What are the signs that you're ugly? Number one is children fear you.
No, you know what the hardest part was?
You guys are just, you love this topic. You're like dragging my ass.
I think it's inspiring, actually.
Sure.
I really do think
get it all out of your system. What do you want to say? Let's keep going with it.
No, because as your wife...
This fucking camera keeps getting out of focus. No.
As your wife, I just remember when you would come back from the runs.
Yeah.
And you were in so much pain.
I was fat and running half marathons.
And I remember Dennis would be like... he would say...
You're always cry laughing on this show. It's so funny.
You would say... Add a bunch of ice.
You can't even talk.
Add a bunch of ice to the bathtub.
I can't move.
And I remember I would add all the ice. And then you would come upstairs taking your clothes off. And it was just like,
I would do ice baths after big runs.
It was so sad.
And I wouldn't be able to move. And I was just this fat sack of shit inside of an ice bath after doing 13 miles.
And then your dad would be like, what have you done? And you're like, I've just ran like 13 miles. And your dad wouldn't believe you.
No one would believe me.
It was sad. But anyways, okay, completely done. That was a transformation. We're very proud of you. You changed your life.
Guys, okay.
Look, he's Muslim now.
It's crazy. But okay. Guys, it's not, I'm not walking a half marathon. I'm doing a 7 mile pace. Like I'm fucking like running.
Yeah.
And
it reminded me yesterday when you were feeling a little discouraged because your watch shows you that you are not cardio. What's the word? You're not at your best cardio wise.
Yeah. So
but you look your best.
So the Garmin has a feature that it's called fitness age. And so it'll tell you what age your fitness is at.
Isn't that crazy, Abby?
Crazy.
So my fitness age right now is 31 years old and a half, which is my age. Es mi edad. O sea, okay. yo no tengo la el físico de alguien más joven que yo.
Okay.
Yo estoy en mi edad.
Okay.
Which is normal.
No lo puede, Natalie lo usó, lo puede probar. Y...
No, tiene que usarlo como varios días.
I would love to know.
I'm 21.
So when I was running hard and fat and I was 28, my fitness age was 22. So I was internally, my fitness was 6 or 7 years younger than what I am. I was, and I was still overweight.
Fat.
So I still have, the Garmin says I can still target 24. As my target fitness age, if I were to consecutively run and do Peloton or whatever.
That's fantastic.
Which I'm doing. So I'll give you guys updates. As my fitness age starts to reduce, I want to give you little updates and let you know, like, hey, guess what? I'm feeling 28 because my fitness age is 28. Like, that's really nice.
I love that. That's really cool.
Can we move on?
Mm-hmm.
Did we get everything out of our system?
Yeah.
Do we want to make fun of you anymore?
No, we're not making fun of you.
I got it. I understand. I'm just saying.
I just think it's transformation. You know.
Yeah. Children fear you. We're going to go back to that.
What are the signs that you're ugly?
Children fear you.
That's so sad.
We extend so much.
Children are real.
Children have no filter.
That's the thing. I've always heard some people are more scared to like break out their new single in front of a
a child
because they'll be like, that's terrible. Like they really don't have a filter.
Yeah, they're like, mommy, what's wrong with her face? Mommy, why is that man so large?
Oh, that's rough. That really is rough. Being mommy, that person.
What's wrong with her skin? It's like they're like that.
I know.
Yeah. Or they don't want to socialize with you. They're I don't know.
Give me a hug.
He turned around.
They run away. That was gonna be bad. You're ugly.
Damn. Okay. So yeah, children have no filter. They'll let you know when you're looking at your worst or when you're looking pretty.
You know what I don't like about this or this question?
Yeah.
Is I truly feel like everybody's beautiful. I truly feel that. I know you don't believe me because you don't see it, but I can find beauty in every person. I really can.
Okay.
And I don't like this question because I feel like the standard of beauty is so different everywhere. I mean, we were even just discussing before this, David was saying that in the 70s, people who were tanner were considered richer. Whereas before in
richer, you know,
the,
more beautiful.
The Renaissance age or whatnot, people were more fair and they were considered the rich people.
Yeah.
So I feel like the standards also change. We even look at nowadays, you know, the Kardashian's body type became the ideal.
Yeah.
Whereas in the 90s, it was the very thin, almost like the smoker body.
It's a fad. It changes. It's a trend.
It is a trend. And that's why it shouldn't.
But there's like people whose beauty transcends.
That's true. Trends. And there are people that are very beautiful. Yeah, you're
drop
right.
Drop dead gorgeous. Like we throw around drop dead gorgeous as like.
There are.
Just a simple phrase that you'll tell someone who's like really pretty. But there are people that legitimately hit that quote. Like they are that. Mm. I remember we were at BeautyCon and you saw Adriana Lima.
Yeah.
And you said that she was like one of the most pretty people you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
It's that. There's something about that, or like I've heard people say that they see Tom Brady in person and that he's a very attractive person.
Which one is that one?
The football player that was with Giselle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Are you sure it's not Tom Cruise?
Okay, I mean, they can both be attractive, I guess. But like people say that Tom Brady's he's rich and he has football and he's attractive and he's got all this. Like,
and you know what? There are some people that you meet in person and they're so much more attractive. Like, for example, you remember when we met Mimi?
Mimi icon, yeah.
Remember, I was like, what? Like, she has like something different in person. There's people like that too, where you see them in person and you're like, they almost have a glow.
But they have that aura.
They have an aura.
Yeah.
And they just look healthy and beautiful.
They have to believe himself that they are like that for transmit people.
It must be a thing because she really like shocked me.
Can I just like change the topic a little bit?
No one's telling you.
That aura, that presence of beauty.
Yeah.
You can kind of change that aura into other things as well.
Yeah.
Right? Like like I've played soccer with a lot of people in my life, and there's some people in soccer that carry themselves with an aura.
Really?
And of just confidence. And you can just see it, and they're special and they play really well. Mm-hmm. And sports in general are not just about talent and ability. It's also about how you carry yourself and 100%. What you do.
And the confidence.
And the confidence. And so like a penalty kick is like the pinnacle of aura. Like you'll just see if like someone's going to take a penalty, you're like, oh, he's going to miss it because you can just tell.
I think you nailed it. I think that I could sometimes see people's, not like, you know, physically like, oh, it's magical. Like I see their aura, but like I can see beauty in everyone because if somebody carries themselves in a way, even though they're not beautiful to this world, that really stands out to me and I see it.
I would like to say though, that I feel like a lot of unattractive people tend to have a very faded out aura. They
really?
They don't carry a lot of self-confidence. And so it's also about, okay, you can disagree. But I do believe a lot of people who are not socially attractive, like you mentioned, tend to believe they're not attractive or care or have that glow. And so they dim themselves as well. It's more of like an all encompassing putting down themselves.
I remember my mom really wanted to hook up her friend's son with someone. She was like, Natalie, do you know any friends that are like 30 years old? This guy's really attractive, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he doesn't, when I've only met him one time, physically he's attractive, but he doesn't have that charisma. He doesn't have that thing, and he doesn't work. So I was like, I don't know anyone. Like, straight up, I don't know anyone that would like
you wouldn't want to match anybody with that.
Yeah, because my mom's like, but he's so attractive.
But I thought you said you saw the beauty in everyone.
But that's what I'm saying. What I see is the aura of someone. Whereas you can get someone right next to him, right? I could put all my friends and it's like, do you think he's more attractive or he? And they'll probably think the guy that is not as physically attractive, but is more like charismatic and hardworking and this, they're going to find him to be more attractive. He's more social. He's more this. Obviously, that differs for everybody. But I do think that's interesting. Like, I think there's a there's a certain aura about people that really does. And Adriana Lima, not only is she gorgeous, she freaking has an aura.
I think I had seen this on TikTok, and this was like 2 years ago. This was like an old trend. Mm-hmm. And so people would say, do you have a spiky aura or do you have a wavy curved aura?
What's that?
So spiky, like a spiky aura is someone who's like difficult to be around. They're a little spunky. They're a little bit aggressive. And then the curvy person is more welcoming. Their aura is more
warm,
like grabs and attracts. And so also, I think these auras can attract themselves. Maybe a spiky person attracts a spiky person, and their spikes. Like, I don't know. But in general, auras are interesting, and they can affect the way that you see someone in terms of beauty. Beauty is way beyond just physical. I do agree. But they do coincide. And I do believe that someone who's not typically the normal beautiful has the same charisma or energy or aura. Other examples of what are the signs that you're ugly. Nobody has ever asked me, how are you still single? I don't think I've ever had anybody say that to me. Damn, that's a bad sign.
I'm,
but you're not.
To me, yes.
No, like in the past.
I feel ugly now.
Wait, what? But you're young. You're still young.
Nadie le ha preguntado usted, how are you still single?
Yes. Somebody asked to me, that's why I feel ugly now.
No, that's a sign that it's good.
Oh.
O sea, porque le preguntan a usted,
¿cómo es posible que está solo? Like, yeah. As if you should be with somebody else.
Usted tan lindo y solo.
Eso, exactly.
Pero si nadie le hubiera preguntado eso, es que es feo.
Okay.
So we got that one. People were nicer to you when you were mastering COVID. I know a lot of people always mention that they preferred the mask COVID era because of their like shyness or like they just don't want to deal with people.
That's true.
That's weird.
How would you feel about seeing someone with a mask now?
I saw a man the other day at the local ice cream shop with the mask. And it did make him stand out, in my opinion. Like, I was like, wait, why? Are you sick? I was like, I'm not going to get close to you. I feel like he's sick or something. Yeah. That's what I thought of. But,
What about you, Debbie? How do you feel about if you saw someone with a mask now?
I just think he's, like Natalie say, I think I'm going to say he's sick.
Good.
What about you?
I would say that they're probably sick, trying to help people
polite,
out.
Like, polite, you know, you.
Or maybe
you
he just don't like. La gente lo respira al lado.
That's true. I mean, I'll tell you, I do think COVID made me have more social anxiety when we finally had to go back out. I was so much more conscious of things I was never conscious of. You know, like people just shaking their hand. I was like, no, really. It like perplexed me, but also it heightened my like touchy feelingness. Like I didn't want people to even. So a lot of girls do this. Yeah. A lot of girls would, let's say if they see my hair and they think it's pretty, which I don't think you should do this.
They touch it.
They're like, oh my God, your hair's so pretty. And they start touching it.
Gross.
Right? But like after COVID, I was like, like, let's put my hair back. Well, no one can touch my hair.
There's a lot of people there's a lot of things people don't realize are unsanitary, are gross.
There's also a lot of things. Were you going somewhere with that one?
Into a different topic, but go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's a lot of, what's the word? Maybe not politeness, but just boundaries that people set. I truly, truly, it took me until a friend was pregnant for me to know that it's rude to touch a woman's belly.
Hell yeah.
But I didn't know that because growing up very with other Hispanics, when you go to a baby shower, everybody wants to take a picture with the belly and they're like, oh, and they touch the belly.
Not good.
Well, I never realized that until my cousin was pregnant and she was like, don't touch my belly. Like she was telling people like, don't touch my belly or just like, I'm not going to. No, she vocalized, I'm not going to let a stranger touch my belly. But obviously, and I would always ask then, hey, can I, you know, like.
Why would you want to touch it?
Don't you guys feel like that's something? I know it seems weird now.
I'm asking you.
Because I never see that weird in Colombia.
Exactly.
But what pulls people to touch a belly?
Because it's like beautiful. It's like life.
It's touching the energy of the baby.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God. Like you're kind of like, you know, there in the vicinity.
Do you think maybe you also want the person to feel like you care?
But I genuinely would care. But now I'm like, oh, I get it.
I'm talking also about everyone in general. Right, like what would constitute someone going up to someone else and touching their belly? That's what I'm saying.
I think it's just like what Davi's saying. It's like a sense of like energy of like sweetness. Like, oh my God, like you're pregnant, you know. But obviously don't do that. Like obviously now you got
to ask. ¿Usted le ha tocado la barriga a alguien, Davi?
No, I think when I was a little kid.
Right, me too. And then
But now I never touch a belly before.
And I would never do that either. I would only do that at like baby shower stuff. Whenever you're gonna go take a picture, I would immediately grab the belly. But now I ask, and I usually don't do it anymore. You know?
I've seen also that a lot of the people that we hang out with that have babies ask that everyone wash their hands.
Yes, it's
it's a very sanitary thing, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of stuff even after COVID that we're more attentive to, just like you had mentioned. But there are still things that are just gross that people do. I'm going to name out a couple things and maybe we can discuss each and every one of them.
Yeah.
But have you guys ever had a teacher or someone who's reading a book and licks their finger every page?
Yes.
Is that not nasty? Like I would see this. I had this one teacher who always had a little spit bubble.
Everybody's had that teacher.
At the tip of their lips. And then they'd be constantly just like licking and changing pages and stuff.
The poor person's been speaking for 7 hours.
It's not just that. It's the fucking licking the fingers and changing the page.
I think I'm never gonna be a teacher.
It's a hard job. Not everybody's meant to be one. I think it's one of the most like it's so beautiful.
You guys got stuck on the teacher part of it, but I'm saying in general, people lick their fingers when they move the page. What do you mean you don't want to be a teacher?
That is so funny, honey. You gotta let us. This is how our mind works.
We're going flow. We're vibing with the flow.
Once Sabina comes back, I'm surrounded by ADHD again.
Okay, so honestly, I don't think it's that horrible. Honestly, I don't. If a teacher was doing that, especially if it's their book,
yours.
Girl, what?
Yes. You hand in a project, they're like, and the first, and then they start like going through and every day.
Mine, don't touch my book.
It's kind of hard. I don't know. I don't think I'll say anything, to be honest.
What if someone licks their finger when they're counting money?
Ooh.
People do that.
Mama, think about them.
That's nasty.
It's still money, though. I'm still going to take it.
All right.
I mean, that's why they say money's dirty. Think about it. Money. Where does money go sometimes? Strippers?
Yes.
Yeah. Clean your hands.
I think I had read a fact that over a third of the money that's used in California has some sort of illicit drug or something bad that's not supposed to be on it. Yeah, so whenever you deal with money, you should wash your hands, people. Other things that are disgusting, gross, and unsanitary, the coffee pots or Keurigs at your job, no one cleans them, and most people just change out the little pod thingy. I had heard that most places that serve soda and stuff, like they don't clean the ice makers.
Oh, that's a hard job, and you experienced that yourself. Our ice maker broke. And it was a hard process to clean it.
So, yes, we have an ice maker that I've loved.
It's been loved. Best present I've ever given you.
Best present. Still using it since Christmas. It's going strong. It's been 4 or 5 months now. And then it started making like these weird ass noises. And so I had to like disassemble it. And I found like calcification inside of like the tubes inside. And so I was like trying to figure out how to fix it. Just so you guys know, if you want to clean your ice maker, just run it with some vinegar and some water and it'll clean it up. But there's places that don't take the time to clean the stuff, right?
I don't think any, truly, I don't think, like, you're going to a local
whatever
restaurant. I don't think they're cleaning that.
So they're supposed to, yes, but they don't.
Maybe they do that.
Another one is buffets. So as I was reading into this, it said someone said that their husband had a kidney transplant. Afterwards, he was given a list of things he can't do after getting the transplant. And eating at a buffet is on the list of things he can't do.
That makes
even
sense.
At the ones with the sneeze guard. So there's like this thing that protects so people don't talk over it or whatever. Even if it looks clean, even if it's vegetarian, no buffet.
Interesting.
Have you ever felt that at a buffet, like this feeling of grossness?
I think it's just like this feeling of like, oh, there's so much food and I have to eat it fast. And like everybody, it's almost like a feeling of pressure. Don't you ever notice that? It's like you're eating fast at a buffet. Do you guys feel that pressure?
It's all about getting all the shrimp as fast as possible before other people take it.
No, it's before the huge mob of kids from soccer or cheerleading come in, because there's always that. And then you're like racing to eat.
I think it's the fact that people are dealing and grabbing the food themselves that makes it unsanitary. Mm-hmm. Because
you like buffet, guys?
I used to like it more.
I love it.
The thing is, you go and you see and you grab.
It's an experience. It reminds me of childhood a little bit.
And then you go sit, but you don't know what people do while you're sitting to this exposed food.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
That little four-year-old that came from soccer practice could have just like picked his nose and shoved his hand inside of the chicken. Mm. And like, you just don't know.
They throw up.
It's true. It's like... But at the same time, the workers should be walking around cleaning and making sure that everything's sanitary.
I think that they do. I mean, it is very inexpensive. But you know what kind of strikes me about buffets?
Yeah.
Is one of my aunt who recently had kidney failure, she can't have salt. So she'll go to the hibachi part of the
buffet,
and they will make her like fresh meat, all the veggies, and it's so personalized. I was like, oh my God, that's actually really great in buffets. And then she says no salt, so it's fresh.
I'm surprised she's going to buffets though.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Someone said that they saw someone at a buffet take the bottle off the ketchup, lick their table knife, and dip their knife into the ketchup.
Oh my.
To scoop.
That is the one. I got to tell you, all the stuff on the table,
condiments.
I don't like that.
That's what
unless
all,
it's wrapped.
Yes.
I don't like that.
Everybody here says any condiment that's at the table to not touch it, that it is disgusting.
Okay. You know what this reminds me of?
Tell me.
Want to hear a horrible food story?
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. So we went to New York City with our entire family, right? And our parents, their first time in New York, they were so shocked at the amount of big rats on the street. It just so happened to be garbage collection day. So all the piles of
trash
are on the street and there's rats, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways, after a bit, we go into this restaurant and it was so good. We loved it.
And I didn't like it.
I liked it. And then my mom and your mom decide to go to the bathroom to wash their hands. And they go through the kitchen and they see these big rats walking through the kitchen.
That's nasty.
And the way they wanted to hurl after that, they were like, let's get out of here.
That's not the only thing my mom saw.
What did she see?
Okay. Guys, we were tourists in New York and I figured I wanted some dirty Chinese food. But when I mean dirty, I mean like, how do I explain it? Like hole in the wall dirty.
Yeah,
not
like, no,
figuratively
like
dirty.
Chicken, like,
yeah. Like I want some Chinese food.
Yeah.
Right? So I said, what a better place to find Chinese food than Chinatown? So we go to Chinatown to get Chinese food. Apparently, that's not the right way to go about it. You get Chinese food in other places that's not Chinatown. If any of you guys live in New York, you can right in the comments if I'm right or wrong.
I thought it was good.
So what your mom saw?
So she goes into the kitchen and she says that she sees the stove and that the grease from the food is stuck on the wall. And she said the grease, it's like a thick layer of grease that doesn't come off with bleach or anything. It's like, because she worked in a kitchen a long time ago. She said that it went all the way up to the ceiling and that it was just like slime on the fucking wall.
I'm laughing because your mom like cleans. And so she must have been. She looked at me.
She looked at me. She had this look. I obviously can't do it, but it was like just like a shocked, absolutely shocked. And she said, "We need to leave now. We need to leave now. Like it is that bad." And we had already eaten. Anyways, no one got sick. They saw rats. They saw all sorts of shit. But yeah, disgusting. Anyways,
I just want to put out a disclaimer. I've had really good food in Chinatown.
And you eat it. You love it.
I think that could be misleading.
Or I think we just picked a bad place. Yeah. I should say that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Pero si nadie se enfermó, estuvo bien.
Sure. Yeah, if that's what you want to say. Someone said that they worked at a jewelry store, and when it was time for people to remove their rings to hand to her to clean, that the amount of people that licked their fingers to remove jewelry was concerningly high. And that every time she had to pass people a wet wipe and ask them to clean the ring before they pass them to her.
That's crazy.
Have you ever licked your finger to help remove jewelry? I had never heard about that before.
No.
That's
nasty.
New to me.
You take
quitas el anillo con saliva.
No, I've never done that.
My mom had a ring for a long time that she couldn't remove. It was very hard to get
out.
Because you leave it,
yeah.
She would use lotion.
Yeah.
But I've never heard of anyone using spit to get a ring out.
Especially how embarrassing. That, like, what? Are you either and then doing that, or are you like putting your full ass finger?
I've seen people shove full fingers in their mouth at restaurants.
No. Okay, ugh. That part though.
Like the whole gross. Keep that at home.
Here's the thing.
Do that in your own private time.
Dennis is very, very, very. It's like one of his biggest pet peeves is licking and slurping and that stuff.
I think I would say I'm a sanitary, clean person.
Yeah, but I gotta say, if it doesn't affect you, don't say it.
Last time we were at a restaurant and you saw a spoon and it looked dirty and we asked for another one.
There's nothing wrong with that. Is there something wrong with that?
No, there is nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is you too. Like
I would say
are both clean people.
No, okay. But what I'm trying to say, I guess, is like, and I get that it gets
This is crazy. This is crazy.
No, because this is what happened. So my brother-in-law licks his finger after eating chips, but he goes in.
Brother-in-law.
Isn't that how you say it?
Oh, yeah. I know who. Yeah.
Grayson. I only have one. So anyway, so he's eating chips. And he's like, and Dennis straight up is making faces. And he's like.
I leave. I have to leave.
It's just I can't stay there. No, but I totally understand that bothers you.
I have a list of people I can't sit next to when they eat.
My dad.
Your dad. I knew it. Slurps everything. Everything is a slurp. Give him a tea, hot or cold, slurp. Give him fucking rice. He'll slurp rice. He'll slurp everything. I don't understand.
I know.
It's like, why can't you put it in your mouth and then breathe in and do the slurping action?
I don't think that's fair because I drink hot drinks and I'm not going to burn myself for you.
You blow it. No. Chill out. You blow it in the cup. You blow.
Well, guess what?
And then you drink.
I'm so sorry to tell you, you're going to struggle in Japan because that
is a sign that. I know that.
They love the food. They go in.
Ew, okay.
And I'm going
to
do it.
I'm going to have to deal with that. But that's different, okay? Anyway.
Japonsi.
The what?
In Japón.
Y lo más que hacen es, they like it more, so.
Le dijeron al chef que le gustó la comida.
There's a lot of expensive restaurants in Japan. Did you know that?
I thought you could eat with $3.
But there are Michelin star restaurants in Japan.
Oh, for sure. Yes. I can't wait to eat. Take me now.
Fancy steakhouses, lots of ramen, lots of wonderful things.
Oh, yeah.
Kobe meat is the only one. Solamente se hace en Japón. Solo que lo pueden probar.
So,
thank you.
At a fancy steakhouse, have you ever wondered what your $60 to $100 is paying for? Is it just the meat? Is it other things?
I'm gonna be honest, I never buy a $60 steak. I'll never do it.
We've been to Brazilian steak houses that
that's
are like
true.
Steak buffets.
That's true.
That's fire.
I've
that
never, is so good, I've right? never bought like a $60 steak, just one steak.
Me neither.
Ever.
But you know that kind of happened to my dad. Okay, tell me how
your dad always asks for filet mignon.
Okay. So he does. Dennis gets a little mad because he's like, this is so expensive. But anyways, we went out to eat with him and he decided to try something that the person tells you to try, which is probably the most expensive thing on the thing. What is it? What is that? I just forgot the name.
It's bone marrow.
Bone marrow. So it comes in and it's a bone. I don't understand bone marrow. You can only eat this much.
It's a jelly that's inside the bone.
Ridiculously expensive.
Yes.
I mean, my dad was like, who just ate this? He was like, I'm confused. It, just a bone. I can never understand that. And it was
so what happened?
So he was
le sacan un hueso.
He was mad.
Y entonces, like, inside of the bone is a little path. It's like
sí, sí, se llama el tuétano.
Yeah.
Eso.
How much did they charge him for that?
Probably like $42.
Wow.
Solamente por agradecita la mitad.
And my dad was so pissed because also like the person had recommended it. My dad had never had bone marrow. When the guy was like, yeah, it's a nice.
It's
like,
very healthy for you though.
Girl, he was hungry and he was mad. And I totally understand. And I was like.
And what he said, oh, he just eat it.
He took one bite and he was done. And I said, por
antojado.
Yeah. I was like, for ordering what? Literally, you always order the most expensive thing.
Always.
And whatever the waiter says, like, why are you doing that? But yeah.
You should have licked the bone, try to eat the bone.
No, he was like, what is this?
Anyways, okay. Fancy steak houses. Yeah. Surprisingly, a lot of the actual expense does go into the meat.
Okay.
I didn't believe it at first, but there isn't really a big upcharge in terms of meats. In Japan and all those places, it kind of goes towards the chef's experience in terms of the serving. All of the effort and time that this person has put into their craft, right?
Okay.
So before answering the question, because there is reasons also why it's $60 to $100, how inclined are you to spend a lot of money on food? Do you ever feel bad after you spend money on food? And also, what do you expect with an expensive meal?
Yeah, I used to spend a lot of money on food and I stopped because honestly, I realized that you can make so much of it at home. Some people argue, I don't have the time, I don't have the experience, you know. I feel very lucky that you cook so good. Like literally yesterday, he made me this bomb, like just, oh my God, it was so good. Literally, I was eating and I was like, how? This is so amazing. It was so good.
It's not that good.
It was meat and potatoes with cheddar and onions. I mean, that it was spectacular.
So good.
So now I do go out and I'm very skeptical. But for me, I like cleanliness. That's a really big thing. And I also really enjoy like the experience. Like, I don't want a rude interaction. I feel like that always kind of gets me. Yeah, I'm kind of.
So you would pay for the ambience,
for sure,
as opposed to the food, or is it like a combo thing for you?
No,
like
ambience is really big for me. Yeah.
How about like that feeling of exclusivity? Like, oh, I had to reserve this place.
No, you remember we went to that like new place around here, that Asian place?
Yeah.
And I just felt like so uncomfortable.
It was small.
Not only was it small, but the waiters were doing that thing that they do in The Bear, the show.
Passing notes.
They were passing notes. And I just felt like they were watching us.
Yeah.
And I was like, I almost felt like
but
I was
that's
like,
how it is. You're
I know,
supposed to
but
feel
I don't
watched.
Like that. And I also felt like it was almost like a first date. Like, I can't tell you anything. Like, oh my God. Haha. Like, I can't. Like, it's like so serious. It's so, you know, and they're like, the delicacy of this.
This is this is like your appetizer. The chicken tartare. It has a bubbly essence with a little bit of bark and blah,
I'm
blah,
like,
blah.
And I'm like, okay. Like, eating it so gently. And the person's like looking at how you're expressing it. I don't like that.
Yeah. And they expect you to say how you feel about it.
They come back and they're like, what did you think of the drizzle?
It was quite pleasant. It was wonderful.
What I will say, what I'll say,
that's gonna
it's too fancy for me.
As I twirl my mustache.
No, that's too fancy for me. I've realized that.
David, what is the most expensive meal you've ever had?
The most expensive meal I never have.
Ever had. Never. Ever.
I think was a meal in Colombia. Ooh. I think I paid like 40,000 pesos por una carne en...
$10?
Yeah, that was about 40 mil. In Colombia, it's like, okay, 40 mil you can.
What about here? What is the most expensive?
No, but that makes sense.
Oh,
la más cara. Oh. Que ha comprado así.
Papa, maybe he hasn't. That's a lot.
Yo creo que fue
at least on a date, he's definitely had something.
Yes, yes. I think was a chicken bowl, big ass chicken bowl, papi con papita. I pay like 30.
Yeah, 30. That's good.
What about us? I can't think of anything.
Fuck, man.
I was eating
Spain was expensive. Really? The I remember one particular plate we got in Spain. It was a cazuela.
But I think if I'm gonna spend in food, I don't think gonna hurt a lot. Pues si yo quiero cuando yo sea rico y millonario, yo creo que la cosa que yo voy a comprar, lo que voy a gastar más en restaurantes, que yo vaya a vivir una experiencia gastronómica y culinaria.
Wait, can you say that again, but to the camera? I like that. Gastronómica.
Yo voy a vivir una experiencia gastronómica y culinary.
culinary. I think the most expensive one we got in Spain was a paella. It had a lot of lobster and stuff. Usually seafood is so expensive.
I think
the biggest, most expensive plate I've ever gotten was maybe like $80, $90.
Which one was it?
It was like that. It was like a paella for two. Oh. Usually it's meals that are for two people. It's crazy when basketball players go to these places and spend $100,000 on a tab to a restaurant.
Yes, that's
for like
crazy.
A wine or
what?
Champagnes and all this crazy stuff.
I can't. That's really crazy. Can't.
Anyways, people were asked, what does all the money go towards? Right. So a lot of people said that you're paying basically for their real estate. If they have a nice restaurant and an expensive build out, you're paying for the highly trafficked location. Other people said that the high quality cut of steak is actually about half of the cost. The rest goes towards employees, materials, closing costs, all sorts of stuff. I do believe that a lot of it goes in the ambience and the way that they plate the food. When they, usually these places, man, it's the tiniest little bit of food. It's like a little morsel, like your dad's bone marrow. But honestly, like, fuck, after that, you gotta go to McDonald's or somewhere else because you're still gonna be hungry.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you go to these expensive places, you're like, you already have to have in mind, like, where's that shitty place I'm gonna go to after? Because I'm still gonna be hungry.
No, but I don't think you deserve. If I'm gonna go to expensive places because I wanna eat good and bastante, ¿me entienden?
That's what we all want.
That's what we all want. I remember in LA, LA has, like, obviously its thing for being, you know,
posh.
Yeah. But also, remember that restaurant, Le Republique?
Le Republique is so great.
It's so good.
Fuck.
So, but I gotta say, some restaurants, just because famous people go, they'll maybe bump up their prices. Because I remember that one place we went to on my birthday that was like near the sea in Malibu.
Yeah, it was okay.
That wasn't good. And to me, it was just like...
The view was beautiful.
The view was beautiful. So maybe that's what I'm saying. What we were paying. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
The
yeah.
view was amazing. I mean, it was on Route 1. Yeah, so we were going and we were playing that one Miley Cyrus song.
In Malibu.
And we were Malibu. And we were going in Malibu.
So awesome.
And it was like the waves. And then it was like the mountain. And we were on a highway.
It felt magical,
and honestly.
And can I tell you? It was so magical. It felt like a dream because in 2 days, we were shut down for COVID.
Yeah.
We never were able to go out again.
That's a damn shame.
In LA.
That's great.
Usually also in those places, you surround yourself with pretty people, kind of like we had been talking about in the other topic.
Well, it's kind of interesting because when we'd go to Le Republique, we would go with our editor.
Yeah.
And I remember he was constantly like looking around. He's like, wait, I think that person's a director.
It's always producers and screenwriters. Person,
but can I just say, you guys...
Oh, you're going to tell that story? Go ahead.
I was eating something so amazing.
Was it breakfast or lunch?
I don't know what it was because I forgot. But this handsome man walks by and I am starstruck. And do you know who it is?
Tell him.
Usher.
Okay.
Wow.
Ooh.
He has an aura too.
Like Adriana Lima?
Breathtaking. Just
the
wow.
fuck? Not about me.
You don't know when I talk about you behind closed doors.
Watch. If you catch me outside of the podcast, people, and I walk by, breathtaking.
Make sure you let them know.
My whole gym is out of breath from seeing me all the time.
No, but yes, very, very handsome man. Very handsome man. I'm going back to that.
Anyways,
moment.
Republic in LA, we highly recommend.
Very good.
I like Gracias Madre.
Gracias Madre is really good.
Gracias Madre is a really great place. The fact that it's vegan, though, it pisses me off.
Everything's a little spicy.
Everything is spicy. What is up with vegetarian vegan food being spicy? It's like it has no flavor.
How to be a compliment.
So it has to be spicy. Yeah. And Gracias Madre always fucks up my stomach.
I agree.
Damn.
Me too. But you know
I take the fattest shits after that.
No, I think it's because there's so much beans and like garbanzos.
Fermented.
Yeah.
Se complementa toda la mierda. Y yo le hace ser el boy.
Y uno es así cagando y uno, gracias, madre.
Por fin puedo saltar eso.
It makes you take a big one. No, that's very real.
Thanks. It's called thanks, mom.
Thanks, mom. I agree. Your butthole is like burning.
There's some places that are shit though. Like I don't like Earth Cafe, and it's so expensive.
I agree.
It's I don't like Earth Cafe. Good. It's so earthy.
It's also no just pun. It was like just a trendy place. I think
still is.
Yeah.
A lot of LA's food scene is like. He comes and goes. Mm-hmm. Lots of places don't really stay for a long time. There's one place. It's a secret little spot that I like going to what a lot, it? Right?
Oh, that place is good.
Which place are you thinking about?
SK Donuts.
Fuck. Okay. Yeah. Okay. let's talk
restaurants.
Let's talk restaurants for the rest of this. Okay. We're going to talk about our LA experience in terms of food. SK Donuts. It's on 3rd and La Brea. It's on the, it's like around there. God damn, those donuts are amazing. And tell me how I walked up to SK Donuts and Tyler, the creator, was just in the parking lot eating donuts, right? It attracts that kind of people.
I mean, it's so good. You go to heaven.
It really
it's
is.
Amazing. I got fat just off donuts.
We did. Every morning, damn, every morning go. We'd walk with Jupiter and we'd get ourselves a nice donut.
David, la calidad de estos donuts.
Son tan ricos.
I can't explain it to you.
They really are amazing.
It is...
glazed donut or cualquier donut.
I would it's get, glazed. Un glazed donut.
I would donut. Get the glazed donut. They're so always cool. Warm. They're always
como frescas.
Pero uno muerde and it just disappears. Dissolves.
It's beautiful.
It's like cotton candy.
No, es muy rico.
It's amazing.
It really is beautiful.
So SK Donuts is really great. We had this one sushi place. I can't remember the name. I wish I would remember.
Oh, I know which one it is.
It was in the valley.
Oh, I know which one that one is. Something Mama.
No.
No?
No.
Mamma mia.
Ichi something sushi.
Chipotle.
Chipotle. Okay. And then
man, I forgot that.
The hidden gem that I was actually going to talk about first. Okay. The Grove. If you ever go to LA and you're in the Grove, it's this little shopping center complex thingy.
Yeah.
They have like the farmer's market. So there's two places I would absolutely 100% recommend.
The Brazilian place.
It's called Pampas. Brazilian.
It's really good. You
amazing.
You know it's good because there's always a line.
David, did Tatiana ever take you there?
No, I don't. Maybe my brother.
Pero usted nunca fue a Los Ángeles.
Yeah, I've been in Los Ángeles, but I never. I think. No me acuerdo qué restaurante fui, sí, sinceramente.
Es que es mucho.
Okay, hay una tienda. Es un lugar que se llama Farmers Market. Okay. Y hay muchas tiendas. I think Tatiana would probably
maybe,
take him.
Yeah,
probably.
Maybe take, yeah.
Okay. There is a secret little place there, though. It's this Chinese place. I always take Natalie there. I love it.
You love Chinese food.
So I'm telling you, it's a sweet little man. It's a sweet little man. And you go, and he has his little rice cookers nice. In the back. And he's like making the food.
Yeah.
And it's like Chinese food, but without the oil.
It's so good.
It tastes really so is. Natural.
It really is amazing.
And like the orange chicken is chicken breast.
Best
it's
one.
Not breaded or like it is exceptional.
It really is exceptional.
I love
so
it.
Nice too.
It's like
he's a very nice.
It's like
man.
A 5-star Panda Express. All natural though.
Yeah, it is really good.
The food in LA is really something.
So good.
Damn.
It's so awesome.
Damn, I miss LA.
New York is something different though. I don't know about New York.
You know, I eat some hamburgers in New York como de $7 una hamburguesa así con doble carne. Whoa. La sábana de la frente. So good and so cheap. Yo me comía como 13.
Oh
Llegué y pedí.
You didn't go to Joe's Pizza. I told you to go.
No, nunca entré. Pasé por el lado, pero no entré.
Guys, Joe's Pizza in New York is so good. I love it. Love it. It is so good.
No, es como pasamos por ahí. Yo como íbamos caminando. Yo no les dije para
entrar. I think it's also... I feel like I have an emotional attachment to it now because of every time we've gone to New York, I go.
You always go there.
And it's just, there's something about seeing a line for pizza at 2 a.m.
I know. It's pretty fun.
You like, you're in your hotel room or whatever. It's really late and you're like, I'm craving pizza. And there's a line. Doesn't matter if it's like 3 a.m, 4 a.m, 2 a.m, there's a line every time.
You get a nice crispy Coke. You sit down outside next to the homeless man. It's a whole vibe.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's another topic here, but I'm actually going to jump straight into Dennis's fun facts of the week. Yes, sir. I have two very interesting facts.
Okay.
They're very different from each other.
Okay. Nothing morbid.
This segment is amazing because you guys always learn something. I don't actually remember. Actually, there is something morbid.
No,
so sad.
There always is.
So sad. Yeah. So
don't
sad.
Leave
sorry.
That.
Sorry. Sorry.
We got you here. So
thank you. So drowning is by far the most common death for Hawaiian tourists.
What?
With the majority of those deaths. Sorry, I was about to say details happening while snorkeling.
I know.
So a lot of people go snorkeling in Hawaii. I kind of had like this one mental rule in Hawaii, nothing water related. I didn't
did?
Want that. Yeah. I had a bad vibe about water.
Really?
I was also very, very car sick the entire time. I actually want to talk about our Hawaii trip next time.
Sure.
More
like
in
that.
Depth. Maybe that can be the next podcast. But yeah, snorkeling apparently is, first of all, it's not with the water tank. It's the one that you have like just a tube and you kind of go down and then you go up, you know?
So you have to kind of measure.
Hold your breath, go down,
that's
go up.
That's horrible.
But you don't go too deep. I mean, there's people that free dive, but snorkeling for tourists is just the one that they're like above.
Se levanta un poquito, respira
yeah,
y vuelve.
Yeah. Es más que todo como por encima.
A los peces y eso.
Yeah. Okay. So apparently snorkeling is much more exhaustive than you think. Usually people are kind of caught off guard by how tiring snorkeling is because it's a lot of motions, movement that you've never done.
Swimming is tiring.
And so people dive and then sometimes gulp in water by accident. One person wrote that their brother or something got pneumonia just by gulping seawater. I guess also the water is very cold. It depends on what's going on. You're out of your element. I'm telling you, us humans, we don't belong in water. We're not made for the ocean, that's for sure. And so for any of you that are listening, be careful out there if you're snorkeling. I want these Dennis's fun facts to also be preventative for everyone that's listening out there.
I have to say, the just war. Anything, not anything touristic, but there's a lot of just people just trying to make money off tourists, and you really have to be careful with that stuff, especially when it's like thrills.
Oh, helicopter rides are scary.
Jump up. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah,
do you remember that meme? Anyways, and then the other one was actually very impactful and very interesting. Okay. I'm going to read this one word for word just because I want to actually make sure that I say it correctly. So between 1920 and 1990, around 500,000 U.S. prisoners underwent state-sanctioned plastic surgery in an attempt to rehabilitate repeat offenders based on the idea that appearance impacted the likelihood of reoffending crimes.
I don't understand.
So I saw an image. It was like the cover of this fun fact or fact. It's not fun. And so on the left was a prisoner in a jail, 1920. So these people are, you know, mostly white Americans at that time were that gender. And his nose was kind of off. I would say that he actually fit the appearance of ugly. It's interesting that we had that topic earlier. And then on the right, his nose was straightened. It seemed like they did some sort of rhinoplasty or something. And that guy did not commit an offense again.
I don't get it. So like changing their appearance helped them?
Yes. So it went into saying that it actually worked. They don't know the variables and they don't know why.
But wait, it worked for who? For them to get a job again because they couldn't be recognized?
Not the recognition. It seems like a lot of people that went to jail around that time were a little weird. I don't know if like appearance wise, I don't know if people that committed offenses were usually like outcasts in society that looked a little odd. A lot of people underwent plastic surgery and found more success after leaving jail in life. Maybe they felt better about themselves. Maybe they, I don't know, it changed their outlook on just life.
That's interesting because it does kind of dive into the topic of pretty privilege, which is what we were going to originally talk about. And then I was like, I don't really want to talk about that one.
Yeah.
But I mean, some people who are better looking in life get it easier. It sucks.
So someone did say that here, you know, if you go from a 3, obviously we're ranking beauty from 1 to 10, from a you go from a 3 to a 6 in terms of beauty. And it's easier to find a job, easier to kind of maneuver yourself through society. You're busier. You have more of a focused attention on these accomplishments than doing, you know, murder and bad stuff and like other things.
I saw this growing up a lot because I have this aunt who is so incredible. She's so incredible. And I've never seen her as ugly. However, one of my cousins was like, who do you guys think was the ugliest one like growing up? He like wanted to bring that up. And so he mentioned her. I was like, that's messed up. But he was like, she's so ugly, right? And his mom, she's a lot younger than her. She's maybe like 15 years younger, but she appears like more of today. She dresses more like a younger girl. She vain. Acts like a younger girl.
A little bit more vain.
They say she's vain.
A little bit more vain.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, her stereotype is very much like the Colombian woman, like blonde hair, big boobs, big ass, like the whole thing, right? And I did notice that whenever I'd go out with both of them together, the woman that was with long hair and all that stuff, she would get treated nicer. And she would get more out of life. Like, I don't know. Let's say my aunt was the one that got out of the car, the one that's supposedly not very good looking. She got out of the car and had to go ask the guy at the front, like, hey, can you let us put this car in here? He'd be like, no, like yeah. Because we're not allowed. And let's say she would go and she would be like, ay, no se has dejar el carro acá. And he'd be like, hágale muñeca, like, go for it. So like, what's the difference? And it's that it's pretty privileged. Some women who are more attractive get treated different.
Maybe we should talk about pretty privilege in the next episode also. It's a big ass topic.
The reason I didn't want to talk about it is because I don't feel like there's a lot for me to add. I just feel like it's unfair. And that's just the nature of the conversation.
So we don't do an episode about it.
So no, it's just like, it's kind of like a sad reality. And I mean, I remember I had a friend who she always felt like the ugly one. She felt like the ugly friend.
That sucks.
And she was the person that guys would go up to ask for
the number of the other one.
Of the other one.
Yeah. She and was the fridge.
And she, the fridge.
It's a guy. It's a thing.
La nevera. What does that mean?
So usually if there's like a group of girls, usually the most unattractive of the group is overly protective about the pretty ones. She won't let guys have conversations with them. Usually is a little bit mean and is in the way, preventing the pretty ones from basically straying away from the group.
Interesting. Well, anyways, I just remember her being very like sad about that one day, and I felt really bad. Like it was during,
who was
like,
sad?
She was sad. She like expressed always feeling like guys would come to her to just get through to her friends versus the other way around, and she was like, "Am I ever gonna have?" You know, it's just sad. I don't know. I like.
Understood.
Yeah.
But pretty privilege is definitely a thing. And I think you definitely nailed it. I think this whole prison plastic surgery kind of is the meaning or has a lot of pretty privilege in it. But there have been a lot of attractive bad people. So at the same time, there is a...
Yeah, for sure.
Although,
you know,
in the Ted Bundy thing,
that's the guy
it almost got him... out of all of his issues,
it was insane
because people were so attracted to him.
That's crazy to me. There's definitely some type of like
bias.
What is it?
Bias.
Biased. Or Viudas. A vibe. I don't know. It's just like, I almost feel like it's like witchcraft. Like for someone to think that he's so attractive that he can murder me. And then like, it's just weird. I don't know. It's a weird, weird dynamic.
There's people are so pretty. Sometimes they can get out of situations that normal people would, you know, pay for.
And that's why you need ethical people in life. Cause that's not right.
Yep. Anyways, it's Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern time. At this point, it's probably 5 o'clock or later. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Natalie and Dennis Show. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And also comment down below if you're watching the video format of our show. Thank you. Tune in next week for more murder and mystery.
Oh my God. Woo.